Welcome to Guys Plus, a podcast about guys, a podcast about guys. I am Brian, and I have with me Chris James. Hi, Chris.
Imagine somebody was like, oh shit, Chris James, nice. You know, like they got excited. Like you almost announced me like a guest there. That was
kind this time it was kind of weird because it's like part of Patreon.
Yeah. And also, I guess we have been, you know, we did the one where it was just us, but a lot of them recently have been with guests. Of course, last week we had the wonderful Gwen on. People really enjoyed that episode. So do you think that there's a chance that, you know, we can't have her on all the time, obviously?
Yes.
She'll take over. She'll take the podcast over. We'll be gone in a matter of months. But yeah, we'll definitely get her back on again, right?
She loves doing it. She wants to do it more. I think she wants to do comedy, but you know how it is. Like when you're... And you're nervous and... You just got out of high school, and high school is such a weird place where like having a thing is a weakness to the other.
Yes.
At least that's the way it was where I grew up. It's like if I was like, I'm going to be a comedian when I grow up, somebody would have punched me in the back of the head.
Yeah, I don't think it's like that as much anymore. Yeah. I think kids are a little bit more supportive of their peers. I think probably there's still a little bit of that. I still think like, if you have a physical thing now, I still think you're in trouble. Like if you like have a briefcase.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? If you're a briefcase kid, you bring that to school, I still think you're going to get ribbed. But if you're just like, yo, I want to be a comedian, I think that's going to be met with some positive responses, I think. And now I could maybe give, I mean, I've done stand up. So I do know what it's kind of like. I started when I was about 23. So it took me a long time to do it. I wanted to do it out of high school, but I was too nervous, and I would like try to get the courage to do it and put an act together and stuff. And I know it is very, very daunting. Definitely. You said maybe she's interested in improv. The cool thing is with improv is you can go to classes, and then the classes are bullshit. And a lot of the time, and you're like learning from some really unfunny loser, but you're meeting other people who also want to do improv. And then, so you're meeting friends and people who are at the same level as you, and you're learning together and stuff. So that's helpful for sure.
I think for me, it was like, I don't think she wants to do improv because she definitely thinks it's dorky, but I do think that if you get on stage doing improv, it makes it easier to get on stage to do other stuff. I also think she wants to be a writer more than anything. She wants to write like funny stuff, and I think she could definitely do it. It's just, yeah, like I said, it's practice. Yes. And you still, like I said, you got to shake off the shame of like high school, where it's like, because we were talking about it recently, and I was like you're pretty cool, you know, you dress cool and you know what's cool. But when she was in high school, she was just kind of the same as everybody else in the neighborhood, because that's the easiest way to sort of do it, you know. So
yeah, I think that, and just to be clear, I do think improv is super nerdy, but I also love good improv. Like I'll go to improv shows and watch it. I just think like the majority of it is absolutely insufferable, which is the same as most things, I think.
Yeah, podcasting the same. I think most kids now, I've said this a lot to her, and I've said this a lot to other people, is like they see podcasting or making YouTube videos as like a shortcut to something, and I'm like, you got to get in front of people though, because you don't know if what you're doing is funny. It kills the self-doubt if you go up on stage and you get a laugh, you know what I mean? Because before I did it, I was just recording podcasts. Shit was just going out, and I was like, it was more like I was doing it for myself. And then I started to go on stage, and I was like, okay, this is the stuff that people want from me, and was able to craft a podcast out of that. You know what I mean?
I think when
stage, and they just, I always tell people, you just got to go on stage because you don't know if you're fucking funny or not. So just do it.
And you got to do it a few times too, because sometimes there's a lot of reasons why, like, you could do really poorly and you could be funny, you know? There's just like a lot of outside factors, especially when you're doing like open mic style shows and stuff. So you should try it a few times. I mean, a lot of people mentioned it. I do think Gwen, very naturally funny, makes sense, you know? And she does have, like, she has very, very good comedic timing, which is something that is difficult to teach. And so I think she could do it for sure, without a doubt.
Well, you know who else are really funny is Pastafarians. They tell a lot of jokes and whatnot, and they have all these holidays.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been told.
Today is Mutant Awareness Day. If you're listening to this the day it came out, Mutant Awareness Day.
Mutant Awareness Day.
Lazy
one, like X-Men. Somebody had been watching X-Men, maybe watched an X-Men film the day before they were making the list, and they went with the lazy reference. Yeah, that one's not that funny or good or anything. It's not a reference to any sort of their things. It's nothing.
Sometimes when you can tell it, like, just a lot of times they'll do Awareness Day, mm-hmm. because it's like when I insult you at the beginning of the guys' episodes and I say world's biggest, it's like just such a lazy, like, I'll say the world's biggest and then the word. And I keep trying not to do that anymore, because I think, like, just say the word, man. It's funnier to say you're adding world's biggest is like heightening something that doesn't need heightened, you know, because it's a throwaway thing. Salvador Dali Day, Saturday.
So. Okay, here's an artist.
This is one you're not going to know, and I think a lot of people aren't going to know. Quokka Day, Quokka Day.
Is it something that, it sounds like it's Australian.
It's an animal.
Yeah, it sounds like an Australian animal, though.
It's cuter than hell. I just looked at a picture.
Look it up if it's native to Australia.
A quokka is a small macropod, domestic cat sent in it. Where does it say? Island, rotten Australia. It is in Australia.
Yeah, no, that the certain names of animals you hear and you just know that's a guarantee. Only the Australians would name their animals some shit like that, you know?
Tom probably has five of those. Tom sent me a text recently.
Tom, just to be clear, because there's a lot of Toms. Tom Walker, Australian Tom, not Sex Tom, and not Whiskey Tom, and not Other Sex Tom or Other Sex Tom.
Tom Sexton. Tom Walker texted me him playing with a radio controlled car. And I was like, you got to buy one of these. Looking at it. And I was like, I do got to buy one of those. It's very important that I get one of those.
That's so funny. Like, Tom's like loving this, but he also recognizes he's an adult and he doesn't know too many people that he could share this with in that sort of way. But then he remembered that he knows somebody who is very childlike and loves to waste their money. And he immediately
I said, I got to buy one of these before my wife or Chris talked me out of it.
I mean, those are pretty fun. I got to admit.
He was doing drift. It was so cool, man.
When I was a little kid, I was in the parking lot of Lansdowne Mall. That's the secondary mall in Richmond outside of Vancouver where I grew up. Richmond Center is the main one. Lansdowne still there. But in the parking lot, they were doing like RC car like races, like real, like the guys who were serious about it. And
gas powered guys.
Yeah, I watched it for like an hour and a half. It was riveting. It was incredible. And it did sort of make me think about it. I never followed through, though. I never bought one myself.
I looked into it. I looked into building it. But then whenever I look into something like that, I also look at my Legos and be like, I can't do another. I just can't do it. I don't know if you can. You probably can't see behind me, Chris, but I took apart one of my sets. I'm going to do what's called an MOC.
I know what do you mean what's called? I taught you about that.
Yeah, I'm going to do a building.
Block. It's a something owned creation.
Remember? My own creation.
My own creation, yeah.
I'm going to build a building to go in my city out of my own stuff. I'm going to do it very slowly and try to figure the whole thing out. I'm still building stuff downstairs too. It's going to be a two build situation now for me.
I appreciate you doing that, because of course during the Lego episode it was brought up that you were extremely uncreative with your Lego building.
Yeah,
you've never done a mock. I call them mocks, you say MOC, and the AFOLs usually say mock, but anyways, it's cool to see that you're branching out and trying to show a little bit of creativity with your Lego building. Have you thought about the sort of type of building you're going to try to build, or are you just going to roll with
it? I'm currently sorting the pieces. And then once I get the pieces sorted, I'm going to start thinking about the building. I don't know if I'm going to be able to even do it, because it seems like difficult. So we'll see. Tomorrow, Thursday, 13th, the 13th Monday. 13th. The 13th Monday is Buttocks Day. We know what that is, right?
What do you mean? Yeah, buttocks. Yeah, I know what a an ass is. I don't know what you're asking me.
The next day is Monty Python Day. That was bad.
Not even like a reference to like, not even like the day of the silly walks or something like that. You know, just straight up Monty Python Day.
All right, let's go into some Monty Python. It's the worst. That's one of the worst ones. Thoughts on Bolero from R Bowling.
Here we go. Here we go. I've been thinking about bowling quite a bit lately, so I'm excited to check in on how things are going over at Bolero.
We should have done a video episode because I saw the best video yesterday. I'll never be able to find it, but mm-hmm. I saw a video of a guy hit a gutter ball, and it was he goes up, he does the bowling, he hits the gutter ball, and then the caption on it is like, he's dry ass Bolero. Like he's he's mad at the lanes being not oiled. And it was so funny to me.
Yeah, of course. We know those dry ass Bolero lanes. They've been fucking people out of high scores for years.
I like the guy hitting the gutter and posting it. It's just so good. These fucking lanes, man.
Yeah.
This guy goes, I've never really liked Greedy Poetry 7634 says, I've never really liked Bolero. They seem really money hungry and the lanes never have enough oil. What do y'all
think? Well, I'll tell you what we all think. We 100% agree. The one thing that I found like a big issue that I have with this particular business is that they are trying to make money.
Bowling has always been such a expensive, like I've never been, I go bowling like every year because it costs like $200 to do.
No, really?
I mean, like $150, $200 every time I do it. My wife is drinking and
time. You can't. That's not fair to bowling. To be like, bowling costs so much, and it turns out your wife is drinking a bunch of liquor. Like, that's oh man, it's so expensive to go to the park nowadays, you know? Like, that's come on.
Infinite Young 4486 says, I have designated balls for Bolero houses. Your balls will receive some form of damage. It doesn't matter what Bolero I've been to. They all get fucked up. Oh. They spend money on lane waiters to sell you drinks and overpriced garbage fast food instead of hiring mechanics and doing the necessary upkeep.
Okay, so I don't know that I've heard this before. Maybe we touched on this, but I don't remember touching on it. I did not realize that Bolero is so fucking horrible that it will actually damage your ball.
Yes, I have seen a few times that Bolero will damage your ball.
So you don't
coming in the ball return. Like it'll get it. Like a guy I saw yesterday was talking about how it comes out of the ball return dirty. And I guess that's because, you know, they're always polishing those fucking things.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So it's safe to say if you're going to a Bolero, you don't bring your A1 ball.
Don't bring your arsenal. Just use maybe like an older ball. This guy.
So you're not going to use a house ball, to be clear.
Never. No. Well, we're going to hear some. We're going to read some guys here. Normal story says crap pins are like cement.
Wait, this is what I haven't heard before.
You never heard somebody accuse the bowling alley of having cement pins?
Of the pins being too heavy to knock over?
You don't want that. That would make your score go way down.
This guy, I just love the idea of your ball just hammering into the pins and just bouncing off.
Crap pins are like cement, meaning you can hit the head pin at 15 miles an hour with a 14 pounder and don't get a strike. And the lanes don't seem well maintained. By the way, I bowl at Heister's Lanes in Reading, PA, owned by Bolero. So
I don't know a lot about bowling, but I think that it's about angles. It's about the angle that the ball hits the front pin. Because
makes some sort of the speed definitely helps.
Oh, the speed has something to do with it. But it's the angle, the speed that's coming at it. But I think that you can hit the head pin, but if you hit it too dead on, the way that the pins break, you won't get a strike, no matter how hard you throw it.
No, you hit it with the curve and it hits the side of the head pin and the pin next to the head pin. Boom, you got yourself a strike. I think that's what they're always shooting for.
So I think this guy is just not throwing a proper, like, he's just not throwing a good ball. And then instead of, you know, looking in the mirror, he's accusing the bowling alley of having cement pins.
You just don't want cement. That's rough, you know.
No, I agree. You don't want cement pins. To the floor. Yeah. I agree, but I don't think that's true. I think they have probably standard pins. What would they have to gain? Why would they want people to have bad scores? They would come back less if they had a bad score.
That's a good point. They have nothing to gain by making it harder to bowl. This is another topic from Fortified Armadillo. He says, bowling among casuals. For people who take the sport more seriously than the casual bowler, how do you cope having people on either side using bumpers, wandering onto your lane, eyeing, and sometimes actually using your custom ball from the rack, etc.? I just finished 3 games with a family on my left-hand lane, heard the dad say, I'm going to use a heavy one for this, and proceed to throw a 10-pound and hit a 4.
Excuse me, that's not a heavy one. A 10-pound is all of a sudden heavy? In what world?
And it hit the 4?
Like, and hit the 4? Like, okay, for what reason?
Threw a 190 with a 12-pound house ball that was 2 sizes too big for my hand, and suddenly the kids on the other lane are all using 12 pounds for one shot before reverting back to 8 pounds?
So basically, all the kids were watching him bowl and they noticed the poundage that he was using somehow. I don't know. They got really close, I guess. And then they decided, well, hey, we should use that kind of ball if we want to be good like that guy. But then they reverted back quite quickly when they realized they just don't have it.
They just, yeah. And 12 pounds, a 12 pound house ball, that's 2 sizes too big for the guy's hand. He still bowled a 190.
Which is a decent score, but I mean, that's with like dry lanes, heavy pins. I mean, you got to keep all that stuff in mind.
This next guy goes, let people enjoy themselves. Seems you are a casual yourself if you're using a 12-pound house ball. Get over yourself.
Oh, shit. Yes, sir. Excuse me, you're calling other people casuals and yet you're using a house ball? granted. Now, is there a chance, like, maybe his secondary arsenal was getting repaired and he only had his top arsenal? And, of course, we know you can't bring your top arsenal to Bolero because you're going to get your balls damaged.
So I was going to say maybe he stopped on the way home from work, but I was reading posts yesterday of a few guys that got their arsenal stolen out of their car because they kept it in there and the car got broke into. So, like,
I don't know that I would, if I was a robber, I don't know that I would get the bowling ball. They're just notoriously heavy and not really worth a lot.
Didn't even think about the fact that they're talking about like grabbing 3 or 4 heavy balls.
That's like 50 pounds. I mean, that's a huge amount of weight. And that's like, where are you going to, maybe you can get something from at a pawn shop, but I don't know.
I've never seen somebody selling hot bowling balls.
Nah,
like, hey, no. I guess a bowling ball. Like, I used to work at this pizza shop and this guy would come in like once a week with a bunch of like video games, CDs, gold necklaces, stuff like that, and everybody would go crazy and buy all the stuff off of them. And
that's kind of cool.
Sure. He never brought a bowling ball in, not one time.
I will say this, okay? There was this comedian that I'd heard a lot about in Vancouver when I used to do stand-up comedy, and I met him, and everyone was, oh, this guy's so funny and stuff. I met him, and it turns out, I guess he was a drug addict, alcoholic. I met him outside of this comedy show, and the first thing he did was he tried to sell me a vintage bowling ball bag. I don't know. And then my friend, who was like sort of dating him at the time, another comedian, you know, but it was also my friend, was just kind of like, he just got that like for like $5 at a pawn shop or whatever. So, I mean, that type of stuff is being pawned. But again, the bag, because it's like It's not so heavy.
It's not really heavy, but it does have three balls. My dad's arsenal goes in one bag. He's got like three or four balls in one bag.
Oh, this was a solo. If I recall, this was one that would just carry one ball.
Yeah. This guy goes, LOL, OP acting tough because they shot 190.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, if you got to remember, though, it was with the house 12 and on the dry lanes, heavy pins, house 12. I mean, in those conditions, a 190 is decent. But yeah, nothing to really brag about.
Gets a reply where a person's agreeing with them with a house ball. PBA pros struggle to get such a score with those house balls. And then the guy replies and goes, I bet you $1,000 I could bowl 190 with a house ball within three games, if not the first. 190 is not about striking, it's about spares.
This guy
first is like goofing on the OP for saying he bowled a 190 and acting like a big shot. Then another person's agreeing with him. They're like, yeah, I mean, a guy's fucking even saying it with a ball. And then he replies and was like, listen, I could do it myself, actually, if I had to. It's not a big
I could do it easily. $1,000 on the table right now. Let's go. Fucking meet me at the local Bolero. It's going down.
And then the same person, look who's acting tough now, LOL. And then he says, I may be acting tough, but you're acting like an idiot, making a comment about pros not being able to use a house ball, LOL.
So I may be trying to act tough, but you're an idiot.
Yes.
This is classic Reddit posting. This is, we love to see a thread devolve into just let's fight. Let's fucking fight. You pull the 190? I'll fucking punch your fucking face off.
Well, Pendrocken says, are you talking about actually going bowling with other people or dealing with other people in the center while you're bowling? Most of what you mentioned shouldn't really be a concern in general. I think the only thing that would actually bother me would be someone using my ball or wandering into my approach, but a simple, hey, please don't do that. It's rude. Should solve that problem. So our OP comes back and says, other people in the center. I go bowling with mates who treat it casual and have a blast. It's dealing with unrelated people on other lanes. I've seen people just straight up take custom balls from the rack and gutter them without a word to the guy that owned it. I've seen full-grown men walk across the approach of five lanes looking for a different weight ball. I've seen kids have full-on wrestling matches across three lanes. Like WWE wrestling, you know, full-on matches. There's even a mark in the toilets of my local center where someone has thrown a house ball at the wall and busted the tiles.
So
that guy,
he's probably got a rowdy local.
Yeah,
like he's got one of, like, this is like the Roadhouse bowling alley that he's basically bowling at. Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with that person responding, like, man, come on. This person just sounds like a classic old curmudgeon. Like, I mean, a classic guy where it's just like, man, you're at a bowling alley, a public bowling alley. The majority of people that are going to be there are going to be fucking just having fun and going to be doing it on their own lane. Just fucking bowl on your lane and leave them alone.
So this is a review of Bolero in Columbus, which I've actually been to. I bowled at since it was Bolero. And this is one of the wildest reviews I think I've ever read on Google. And just bear with me for this. One star. Worst bowling alley ever. Went there and the entire place was empty minus one group bowling. There was a kid in a wheelchair who was like permanently there and ready to bowl. And the staff put us right next to their group. And anytime anyone wanted to bowl, we had to walk around them.
What? Whoa.
It's nuts, right?
Hang on a second. So, I don't know about this. Something's not right here.
Well,
this story. There's all the lanes, and there's just one group bowling, and what? There's a person in a wheelchair, and so doesn't even make sense. Wouldn't the person just wheel up there to bowl?
I have no idea. He goes, I don't blame the kid in the wheelchair at all. Even without the wheelchair, we had to walk around. It was pure incompetency to put us next to each other. Literally every other lane was empty. Some people like to have private conversations and don't want the people next to hear it. I will never return here.
I see. So just too close to other people. Listen, that is a little bit of a, I agree a little bit. Like, not enough to go do a review about it, but I do agree. If if everything is, I don't agree about the wheelchair.
Wouldn't bring up the wheelchair in the review. Is all I'm saying.
The wheelchair kid in the review. If I'm trying to like get people to agree with my side, I wouldn't start complaining about the wheelchair kid. But I do agree that it's like it's stupid to put them right side by side if it's all open. Sure. You know, give people a little bit of privacy. You know, if it's possible,
they do that though at like a lot of bowling alleys to keep it contained. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's they want to like at a restaurant or whatever. It's easy to go serve it if you have a server or something. There's reasons for it, but I do understand. You know, you don't need to put people right beside each other.
Well, Brett O'Leary gives it 1 star and he says bowling shop is absolutely amazing, but that's a separate review. I asked the attendant when the last time the lanes were oiled, and the girl told me 2 days ago. So if you're a casual bowler with a decent average, this is not the bowling alley to come to. Can you imagine being that girl? Probably a teenager, maybe in her early 20s. Guy comes in. When's the last time you oiled the lanes? And then you have to answer. And then he probably fucking walks off in a huff. You know, he's probably bowled
2 days. Oh. Oh. He's on his own. Fucking 2 days ago, Jim, they said. Yeah, isn't that good? That's not good. How
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Would they be fucking oiling them every day? I guess
every few hours. How?
No, not every few. You think like in between bowling games, you want to re-oil them?
I'm looking bowling.
Yeah, look up how often.
Should you oil bowling lanes?
Okay, let's take a look. Here.
This guy says once a week. Well, he goes, my alley oils their lane once a week. To be fair, I don't go there often. It's a bolero though, so.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. That's why they got those dry ass lanes.
He did say the manager did say that if I wanted to bowl there, I could just call him in advance and he can oil it for me.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, it seems like a pain in the ass. I'm looking.
I mean, that's really nice from the manager though, you know.
Yeah, this guy goes, an alley near me has stopped oiling it like entirely, which is that seems like a real problem. I'm trying to find 2 times a week is what it's looking like.
So 2 days ago. So what's but that's not enough for this guy.
Yeah.
And then he said, if you're a casual with a decent score, this isn't, I'm really, really confused. Or maybe it's oiled a lot and that makes it harder for casuals.
Okay, twice a day. Guess I'm spoiled. The two alleys I bowl, I usually oil twice a day, once in the morning and then for leagues. They both have leagues every day in the summer, including day leagues. I'm in Florida, so lots of retired day bowl. So it looks like you're supposed to do it before league play, at least. And there's probably league play most days of the week at some point. And then I think they want it twice a day. I do think that's what it seems like to me, because a lot of these people are saying, like, do it in the morning and then do it before league play. Boom, you got your oiled lanes. Now, 2 days, that is a long time. Now I'm mad at them because of the 2 days.
Bone dry. They're bone dry.
Like the grease man would say. Jeremy says, bowling was great. Food kind of sucks. Got their so-called monster burger and it was a pipsqueak. It was very small. When you think of monster burger, you think of Hardee's monster burger. By the way, no Hardee's in Columbus at all. Not a single one. So.
Yeah, I don't know Hardee's. We don't have it here. So
they have a monster burger and it's not a pipsqueak.
So. It's big. Have you seen it? Do you know it?
No, because we don't have them here. I don't know where this guy's getting it. He must be from somewhere else, I guess.
I see.
It was in our roller coasters, and this guy goes, what's the consensus on water rides for counting credits?
Well, of course. If it's a water coaster, if it has a coaster, just because it's in water, that's not an issue. It should be worth credits, of course. I mean, I've been on many coasters that go into the water.
Well, this guy, Sizzle Mop, says, according to the dictionary...
According to what dictionary?
the dictionary. He says...
The main one.
The main dictionary. A roller coaster is an amusement park attraction that consists of a light railroad track with many tight turns and steep slopes on which people ride in small, fast, open cars. If it doesn't meet that definition at one point, then it's not a coaster. Which is... you know, that's something. He goes, Mack water coasters are coasters. Anyone claiming a flume as a coaster deserves the lowest level of credit whore hell. Never seen anyone attempt to argue for a River Rapids edit. Okay, I have now, but people have adopted a stupid postmodern approach to credits. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone is. So
yeah, nowadays people don't even take roller coaster credits seriously. They just made a complete mockery of this very serious thing.
Well, now we'll see the argument here. Goes, honestly, count them all. The whole point of coaster credits is just that you've ridden them. So if it's not a water slide or a flat ride, sure, count it.
Yeah.
Our dictionary definition guy goes, so a River Rapids is a coaster?
Sure.
The guy goes, well, I wouldn't count River Rapids or giant flumes unless there's something significant about them. But for log flumes and powered coasters and notable dark rides, sure, why not? As long as it's not a flat ride or a water slide, if you've been on it, add it to the credits. There's really no point not to.
You know what I love about this guy is he's like, who gives a fuck? But he's got the knowledge. He knows the fucking terminology. He is a coaster guy. So he's like, I can fucking talk turkey with you on this shit. I can go toe to toe, and I think you guys are being fucking losers.
He goes, I would not count a River Rapids ride or a log flume as a credit. And then the final word is, I'd count a log flume, but giant flumes and river rapid rides are a little too nondescript to count as credits. So that's our roller coaster check-in on roller coaster credits, which is you know, something. Now we're gonna go to lawn care guys. We love them, they're great, and they have several different, we're looking at some reviews. Of the first review is for the Luba 2 all-wheel drive 500,000 horsepower robot lawnmower, perimeter wire free vision robotic lawnmower for 1.25 acre lawns. And the cut height is 2.2 inches and 80% slope. App control, compatible with Alexa, all-wheel drive, anti-theft. So
this is to me, listen, this sounds like a goddamn Rolls Royce. This sounds like absolute top of the line. For anyone who's wondering, this is a robot.
Yes.
What it means, you don't have to ride on it. It does all of the mowing on its own. And a lot of them have these weird fucking pulley things, right? Or these, like,
I'll show the guy to you here if you want to see it.
Like they'll have like wires and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but this one doesn't. It looks like a ride-on lawnmower.
Yeah, without a seat.
And
this bad boy costs you, this is gonna set you back $2,899. It's almost $3,000.
It's almost $3,000, but I mean, I don't feel like that's outrageously expensive if it really does what it says it does. If it really has all of that functionality and you have like this big, huge yard out in the countryside or something like that, I think it might be worthwhile.
I personally think you should not buy a $3,000 lawnmower on Amazon.
No, I disagree. I think it's a good purchase. And also, but the funny thing about it too, though, is that like, people like riding their lawnmower. You know what I mean? Like
mowing the grass. This is not for the man. This is for lawn care guys who care about the look but don't care how to get there. You know, that's
this is for rich people.
Yeah.
But even then, is it even for rich people? Because you never know. You say you shouldn't buy something on Amazon. Amazon sells all kind of products that are, you know, you could probably buy a pretty good car on Amazon. Look it up. Look it up.
So I don't think, but I mean, there's a price level, in my opinion, that is like, I need to like see this and touch this and hope, because we've talked about that. The Grilling Guys episode's not out yet, but there's a guy that is like being charged $1,100 to mail back a fucking grill that he paid like $100 for or whatever. And that kind of thing can happen on Amazon. And so you spend $3,000 on a thing that you haven't even looked at. You don't even fucking know how big the damn, I can't tell how big this damn thing is just by looking at it on here. You know, like I looked at it, it looks, I don't know, it doesn't look, It looks like a fucking plastic piece of shit.
Yeah, it doesn't look that impressive. I still would definitely pay $3,000 for this lawnmower on Amazon.
You're talking. I mean, I don't think I think my number is probably like $200. I don't want to pay $200 for more than $200 or something. I want to hold it in my hand, which may be old school. Maybe I'm an old school fucking fella. You know, I just don't trust it, and I don't trust the return policies on Amazon. So I see so many people talking about how they bought a thing and they can't return it, and it just scares the piss out of me every time I buy. I bought a retired Lego set on Amazon that hasn't gotten here yet, and I'm building a retired one. These are my first two retired sets, by the way, so it's not that bad.
What are the sets, the retired ones that you got?
Assembly Square, and I bought the Bookshop.
How much did those run you there?
I think Assembly Square was like $270, and
Assembly Square.
Yeah. Well, it's a Halloween one. Assembly Square was like maybe $270, and the other one's $200. The Bookshop's $200. And
it's retired. That's it?
Yeah,
just 500 between those.
Hey, come on! Don't add them together. When you add them together, it sounds way different. You know, I just finished it. For people who aren't Lego guys or who are interested, I just finished the best build I've ever built. It is fucking wonderful. It's a good time. It is perfect, and it's the Dungeons and Dragons one. It is so fucking cool. I don't care about Dungeons and Dragons. I don't like Dungeons and Dragons. I don't like Dungeons or Dragons. I don't like Game of Thrones, any of that stuff. This is the best build I've ever done. Just loved it. Just
extra. Read all about it. 40-year-old man declares Dungeons and Dragons Lego set to be very cool.
Okay. Why did I say cool when I thought how it would turn out?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, traditionally known as something that's cool.
Wow, like, dudes, it's cool, man. Like, that was such a youth pastor thing of me to say. Mm-hmm. Jimny, or Jimmy, I thought it said Jimny.
That's such a good flop for some reason. You just decide, like, Jimmy is such a common name and word that you see so much. You looked at it and you said, I think this says Jimny.
I'm still hurt about me saying Dungeons and Dragons Lego set is cool.
Jimny it's a really good name though. Like Jimny, like if your name was Jim or whatever, that would be like a sick username people used, I'm sure. Like Jimny, like a chimney or whatever, you know?
Like Jim New York.
Yeah, Jimny. I mean, it's just a good name, Jimny. Yeah.
The guy goes, this thing absolutely sucks. One star. I love guys that do that. Love that. That is such a good line. I've had this thing set up for 5 days and it hasn't even completed a tenth of my yard. I have 0.8 acres. Every time I look outside, it is a stop for no reason. Then I open the app and it says it's stuck. I simply hit the continue button and it gets unstuck by itself. I basically have to babysit the app because it doesn't send you notifications until you open the app and look at the notifications. It bumps into the grass and turns itself off. Like, it's grass. Like, he writes grass. Like,
yeah.
Capital letters. That's what you're here for. He is so mad. It's grass. That's what you're fucking here for. This thing's getting stuck on grass is so good. That's why you don't buy something like this from fucking Amazon. You buy this from fucking Home Depot, and then when it gets stuck on grass, you drive it back to the Home Depot and get yourself a nice little Husqvarna or something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I mean, listen, all jokes aside, of course, I would never spend $3,000 on, I don't have a lawn. I live in an apartment for one. I don't have enough money to afford it, but yeah, this is a Home Depot Canadian Tire we have in Canada.
I love that place.
Canadian Tire. So this is, you know, the type of thing that you get from one of those places. Definitely,
you take it back. You can take it back and buy a push lawnmower. And honestly, just get a push lawnmower or hire.
Well, it depends on how big your lawn is, Brian. People like with big, huge. people with big, huge lawns, and if you're an older gentleman or something, you got bad knees or whatever, it can be a lot to go out and be pushing the lawnmower all around. But you're right. In most instances, yeah.
0.8 acres is a push lawnmower level lawn.
Oh, yeah. This guy here should be just buying a regular lawnmower and stop being so lazy. But we don't know. He also, who knows? He could hire somebody
easily.
For that price, he could get it cut for years.
I know. I'm going to look actually and see landscape. I bet you they won't give you the prices. Because they never give you the prices on fucking anything. Asphalt. Okay. Perfect. Why is it all paving? Okay. So it land creating your backyard saying $2,600 to $13,700 a year. Okay. Maybe. He's got a better deal. $10.75 per square foot. Ooh. Fuck that, man. I'll just mow it myself. Actually, you know, I wouldn't mow it myself. Like, I would definitely hire someone. He goes, I've done everything I could to try to make this thing just mow my lawn. I'm getting overheating disc notifications, clogged discs, etc. I vacuumed this thing out, flipped it over a bunch of times to clean it, restarted it over 20 times. I have over 100 error notifications. No exaggeration. If I went and bought a goat, it would have mowed my lawn by now.
Can I tell you, that is a good line. This is absolutely destroyed this man's life. If you are in his circle, if you interact with him in any way, you know everything about this scenario.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is all he's talking about these days.
He probably told his wife, like, it's $3,000.
But
we don't have to fuck around with the lawn anymore.
Totally. He's pushing for it for like months and months. Like, I'm putting stuff away. I'm not going to go with the guys on the fishing thing. Trust me, this is a good purchase. Trust me. And then he's just out there fucking flipping over, like tearing his hair out. And she's just looking out the window, smiling.
God fucking damn. Like every error message, hundreds of error messages he's getting. Every one of them is sending him through the fucking roof.
Well, what do you know? The fucking lawnmower's stuck again.
Because sometimes I'll buy something that I know I shouldn't have bought, and then when it fucks up, I don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
But once you're getting into that level of error messages, forget it. You're going to lose your fucking mind.
$3K on it, and it to have your life fucked.
Well, that's the next line. It's good too. It's honestly comical that this thing costs $3,000.
You're right. At least he recognizes the humor in it.
I'm returning this and getting a Husqvarna. I also have it set to the minimum amount of spacing between the lines, and the 8 lines that it managed to do over a 4-day period aren't even touching each other. Customer service is all but useless too. Talk to them 4 times already. F this thing.
So what's the overall review of it? Stars?
It's a 3.9, which might as well be 1 star on
that. On Amazon, that's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bargain Hunter also gave it 1 star and he says, this is a scam. Do not buy.
Well, Bargain Hunter, I don't know that you're. It's $3,000 lawnmower. I don't know that you're necessarily living up to your name there, man. I mean.
Also spelled B A R G I N.
Sick.
H U N N N T E R. Bargain Hunter. I used it for 1 week to mow 1/4 of an acre. See, 1/4 of an acre is just a lawn. Like a normal, I bet you I have 1/4 of an acre. And I live in.
Yeah. 1/4 of an acre is a decent sized lawn, but it's a lawn that you would have at a house.
It's normal. I think it's a normal size lawn that you could push the lawnmower or hire somebody again. And that's $10.75 a square foot. If you only got 1/4 of an acre, then that's not going to cost you as much. I do know a guy that is a landscaping dude that like does it for a living, but he's so weird and cheap. So I wouldn't ask him. It mows for 45 minutes and then needs to recharge for an hour. It literally took 12 hours to mow the yard. I contacted customer support and was told this was normal. So after a week of that back wheel, the back wheel fell off. Do not. Now he does an update. He's updating the. Updating it. So you get it. The company uses a chat bot for customer service. It asks for pictures of the broken part and then wanted 48 hours to verify that it's broken.
So this is poor guy. Yeah, this is some type of a scam type of company. Not a scam, but like, you know, they're just like, hey, we're gonna build this shitty product and sell it for a bunch of money and have all these bells and whistles and see how many we can sell before everybody figures out that it's horrible.
Which is every single thing you buy on Amazon that's not a certified known name brand. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Anything that you've never heard of that cost $3,000 from any company you've never heard of, it's going to be a piece of shit and you're not going to be able to get a hold of somebody. That's just the fucking way it is, man. Yeah. It's a scam website. 90% of it is bullshit.
I've never returned something on Amazon or tried to like I buy something on there and if it goes bad, it just goes bad. That's that. I throw it in the trash.
I return stuff that I bought and got the wrong thing. You know, like if I bought something and it's my fault, I've returned cords and stuff for the podcast. I've returned like cords and audio interface and shit like that. I'll just return stuff. I don't mind. You just take it to Whole Foods.
Oh, I don't return stuff. It's too much of a hassle. Well, I do return some stuff. I just returned some Nike shoes. This is a cool thing for Nike shoes. This could help out some listeners. You can return Nike shoes 2 years after you buy them.
No,
you don't even, I swear to God, you don't even need a good reason for it. You just tell them that you're not happy with the shoes anymore. You can return them for a full refund. I returned these shoes that I bought a year and a half ago that had a hole in them, and I returned them and got a full refund, $235.
I'm trying to see what I've returned. Damn, I did that with, I returned an OtterBox iPhone, pepper spray that I bought for my daughter because she wanted pepper spray. I can't find all of my returns, but I'll return stuff. I don't mind doing it. It's easier. It's easy enough to do. Yeah, I'm looking through. I'll never find it.
Return to Nike, folks.
Do the same thing with REI if you're looking for a place to get. Oh, there it is. I bought some speaker wire and returned it because it didn't work.
Didn't have the right crystals.
Yeah, it didn't have the right. Well, it was supposed to be like an easy plug and play thing where you can just plug it into your speakers instead of having to strip the wire, which I hate doing. And I got Bose anyway. There's no highs or no lows. Doesn't matter. The company update. The third party seller asked me to pay $140 for shipping to return the mower. This is another reason you don't buy something like this on fucking Amazon. Don't buy a heavy thing. If you buy a heavy thing and it's not an Amazon purchase, they're going to make you pay to mail it back. And that fucking sucks. And Amazon should be way more clear about that, but they're fucking not.
And Amazon should just, I hate Amazon.
I do too. I fucking hate them.
You got to stop using them.
It's just hard not to use them. It's kind of like the Walmart people. Remember, like you would be like, I'm boycotting Walmart. And then, like, so you didn't, first of all, me boycotting Walmart is pointless. I don't live close to one. I live in the middle of the city, and the closest one is, like, out there. It's, like, 15, 20 minutes away, and I don't like going there. But I was boycotting it, and then now I'm on Amazon, so I might as well be going to Walmart. It's not.
Yeah, I go to Walmart. There's a Walmart close by. I go to Walmart for like groceries and stuff like that because they have so much cheaper groceries than are horrible. Speaking of boycotts, there's currently a boycott on for the Weston food groups in Canada. So different Shoppers Drug Mart, Loblaws, that's the big one.
No, not Loblaws. I took a big shit in one of those and clogged the toilet.
Good. And so they're boycotting that currently right now, and I am actively participating in that boycott. All the other grocers are horrible as well, but I still do like to boycott horrible big companies that are bankrupting Canadians. So that's fuck right. Fuck Loblaws and fuck overweighty and as well. So
update. Everything about this item is smoke and mirrors. It isn't able to do what Man Motion claims it can do. It breaks after a week. They make you pay for return shipping. I should be able to return a defective unit. The idea of this product is awesome, but it sadly cannot do what they say it can do. So then I was like, so is that the shittiest robot lawnmower? And so I looked up and saw, you know, what is, so I found one that's $623, significantly less. And you would assume that it is a piece of shit. It looks actually like a piece of shit. I'll shoot you a picture. I'll
take a look at this.
It looks like a fucking huge piece of shit. Like, it looks like a fucking plastic piece of trash. Like, there's no way this thing's mowing your grass.
Yeah, that does not look like it could mow your grass.
It looks like it would take 10 days to mow your grass. It is seriously crap.
It looks small as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 623. Brett K. Roeder says, do not buy this mower if you live on a street, pool, lake, river, or stream. This review is so funny to me. For a year, this mower was awesome, and I recommended it to many people. Sorry, friends, I was wrong. But then Gardena updated the software, and the mower went past the boundary wire and into the lake. His lawnmower just rolled itself into the lake. Can you imagine that? You're fucking standing there. Where's the fucking lawnmower? Where'd it go? And it's floating in the lake behind your house.
Brutal.
It sucks.
One star.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the one. For the past 2 months, I've been working with tech support and to remedy the situation. Today, they came back and said their warranty department would not replace my mower. And this review is written in the height of anger.
Oh, like, yeah.
If you have a fenced-in yard, buy this mower. By the way, dude, don't... Come on. Like,
you hate them so much. Don't, like... Tell them other people to buy it. Like, why? Say that it'll do something bad to the fence also.
Love that he opens the review and says, I was recommending this to all kinds of people, and now I kind of feel bad about it. And now he's like, hey, you know, if you have a fenced in yard, go ahead and buy the fucking thing. It's, yeah. Like, he hasn't learned his lesson
at all. Yeah, he's going to get bit, I feel like, again. He doesn't recognize one of his friends going to be like, so I got my fence and this thing freaking chopped a hole in my damn fence, you know? Yeah, you should just stop recommending this product.
He goes, but if you're planning to use this mower where if it went past the boundary wire, it would go into the road, lake, pool, river, etc., don't buy it. Or any other Gardena mower. You cannot rely on it to stay within the boundary wire or for them to replace it if it does due to software. Can you imagine this thing rolls out into the fucking street? Like, it's mowing and it goes past the boundary line.
Car pile up like a fucking school bus full of children fucking yeah. Rolls over because your little Gardenia fucking robot mower went outside.
I was actually listening to, or no, I was reading Nextdoor yesterday because I read Nextdoor now because it's the only, like, I canceled a lot of my junk mail, so I don't get as much as I used to, and I'm trying to keep up with my emails, so I kept Nextdoor because I find it to be a funny site, and
what is Nextdoor? Is it like a neighborhood app?
Yeah, 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 yeah. You guys don't have it up there? You don't have Nextdoor?
I do. I just don't use it. I don't really. Yeah,
it's wild. I can show. I can, like, if I opened it up right now, you'd be like, it's mostly people saying, should I call the police? And then other people saying, yep, you should absolutely call the police. Or there's a woman in a electric company T-shirt and hat, but she doesn't look like she works at the electric company, and she's knocking on people's doors. You're like,
okay. Police, SWAT team.
I'll see if there's anything up. I'll see if there's anything right now. Oh, man. Nope, I don't see anything yet. But anyway, I saw a guy complaining about racing. Where's the racing guy? Because it's very funny. He's so mad.
So how does it work exactly? Like, what type of, is it a forum or...
It looks like Facebook, but it only puts you in front of people in your area. You know what I mean? So it's one of those sites that's like, I can see what's going on in a neighborhood. By the way, I don't like what's going on. at all.
What do you have an issue with?
There's just a lot of people calling the fucking police, constantly calling the police, all talking to each other about when they should call the police. I'm trying to find this guy because he was so pissed about people racing, and like it made him racing down the street at night, and it made him so mad that he started criticizing the way they were racing their cars. So it's very funny. I'll read another review and then see if I can find it here. Randy, the true review. So I purchased this product about 2 weeks ago. The install wasn't too bad, but this thing does not mow the lawn well at all. He spends more time driving around and getting stuck in the tiniest little holes without the blades spinning. If the blades were actually spinning the whole time, then the lawn might actually get mowed. But instead, it just drives around without the blades spinning. It's like a little kid bouncing off the walls. I've given it enough time to see if it just needed to learn. But there is no teaching this guy. I have filled hole the tiniest little ones, by the way, and it still stays in one area, bounces off the blades of grass. If the grass is just a little bit thick, it can't do it. The wheels have no traction. They just spin on the smoothest areas. I do not recommend this product and return it immediately. And our last review from Jeremy K says, it pains me to say it, but it's simply awful. Quality control needed. I don't know why it pains him to say it, other than he spent $600.
Yeah, that's probably why. The fact that he thought this was going to be a life-changing thing for him.
It's just so hard to like get across to people. Like, no, it's not always the best to... Oh, here's one of them. Here's one of them, Chris. This is one of the... Be warned, there's a female going around right now knocking on people's doors with her hair in a tight ponytail and a tank top on. It looks red or pink and black pants. She knocked on the door, but I didn't know who it was. So I opened it when she walked away, and she started to come back and goes, yeah, utility update. AEP sent me over here. Now, AEP is our power company. And yesterday there were storms and tornado watches here.
Okay.
Like, all day. Like wind.
Seems like a pretty good cover for somebody to be casing the joint for do some B&Es.
And as soon as she said it, I said, nope, no thanks, liar, and shut the door because I know it's a lie. So for one, they don't send people who aren't in a uniform or people who look like they're on something. Don't answer the door for them. So
I just want to be clear. So they're saying that the power company doesn't send someone who looks like they're on something?
They don't send somebody who looks like they're on drugs.
For a fact that the cable company will sometimes.
No, they would never. The cable company is...
Well, I know that back in the day, there was a certain technician who would sometimes show up and be under the influence. There's
maybe a service tech who maybe... I'm trying to find this racing guy. I wish you could see it. I want to read it so bad. Of course, yeah. Matt Wolf. Oh, Jesus. Here, let's read this last review here. I spent hours doing setup, but I've never moved or funk. First of all, he says, but it never moved or functed in any way. Considering
how much hasn't even functed in us. That's the word. It's the root word from function.
That's true. Yeah. And he goes, considering how many robots I've designed and built, as well as my profession, I'm confident it's not my fault.
Wait a second. Is this guy super smart? Now I think functed is a word because this guy's like such a smart guy.
It seems like a guy that does lawnmowers for a living.
It's not, functed is not a word.
Okay, good. Well, he's a lawnmower guy. So, God damn, this racing guy. Next door sucks. He goes, I'm confident it's not my fault. It never left the charger despite claiming that it was actively mowing. Got the Owl Mow robot instead. It's more expensive and irritating, but it generally works. These robots sound horrible.
I just got the one that's like pretty expensive and irritating and doesn't work very well. I'm enjoying it a lot more.
They do seem like really fucking annoying, man. So yeah,
like maybe the technology's not there yet. Do you know what I mean? It just sort of seems like, you know, those sort of things where I'm trying to think of another example.
I think
maybe
people think
maybe it's Roomba. The Roomba early on, it was like it just wasn't there. It just wasn't that good. You know, it was just kind of annoying. Whereas you got to wait a little while.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Roomba is a perfect example, and I think that they think that the Roomba is, they think that the Roomba is like good. So this is good.
This should be at the Roomba level, but they don't understand that the Roomba has gone through many iterations and a lot of trial and error and a lot of people, you know, just years and years of development.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm almost to this guy. Okay, I think I'm going to find somebody.
What are you trying to find? Just some guy complaining about racing?
People racing their cars outside, which, fucking damn it. All right, well, let's do one more thing to get us, we get a little bit here. Let's look at the Reddit, look at my feed, and see if we got something funny on the swinger thing. Oh, that's not funny at all.
What? That's the one I want to hear.
No, you do not. This guy Bonkmaster 20 says wife has a no black men boundary.
Oh.
Today is our 1 year anniversary swinging in the boring ass Midwest. Our tips to newbies, just our personal opinions. We got a few tips for swinging in the Midwest. Jesus Christ. Condom allergies are like self-diagnosed high school. Oh, come on. So now single guys are going around saying that they have condom allergies? I don't know about that. Here's one. This happens all the time. Bumped into a coworker and feel awkward about it.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I went to EDR in Palm Springs over the weekend. We go there often, and this was our first time for the year. We were there for about an hour, and we walked around. We turned a corner, and we bumped into one of my coworkers and her husband. How crazy is that? Like, I think if you're a swinger, this has to be like the thing you dream might happen that is the worst possible case scenario, right?
Would it be the worst for everybody, though? Would it be the worst for everybody?
Well, I mean, if you run into somebody from work at a place that you, like, this is the one.
You know, they're also that part of it, right? It's a little bit different because you're running into them in a place where they also are part of that lifestyle. They're not just seeing you do it. That would be different if, like, you know, they just see you do it and there's that embarrassment. It's like they're also part of it.
Mutually assured destruction at work, right? Like, yeah. To work, and if they're like, I fucking saw this guy at a swinger party, it's like, well, what were you doing there?
That reminds me when we were younger. That, you know, they say, oh, do you guys know Zellers? Did you guys have Zellers?
No.
It was Canadian, like, it's actually made a comeback now, but it's like it was like a cheap place, you know, sold cheap clothes, Zellers. And that was the whole thing. You'd always say to people like, oh yeah, I saw you at Zellers shopping. How did you see me? Because you were there?
We did that at Odd Lots. We saw a girl from our high school go to Odd Lots when we were in ninth grade, and for the whole rest of the school year, it was like, this motherfucker was at Odd Lots, because we were at the McDonald's in a parking lot, which we all shop there anyway. That just, this motherfucker, I saw her at Odd Lots. He goes, when we made initial contact, I was like a deer in the headlights, and then I went to cover myself. My wife and I were both nude, and the coworker covered her chest. She was topless. It felt like one of those moments that exposing each other was inappropriate. I went to introduce her to my wife, but it was awkward and honestly did not know what to say. My wife took over, and we talked for about 2 minutes, eventually us going back to our loungers and then going to theirs on the other side of the pool. I felt awkward and sort of embarrassed after that. A couple hours passed, and the loungers next to us open, and my wife went to go ask them if they wanted to sit next to us. I did not know she was going to do this, as she got up saying only she was going to the bathroom. When they sat next to us, I felt I had to cover myself up with a towel. My wife was still nude, the coworker still topless, and the husband in shorts. My wife and the coworker chatted it up all day. The husband and I talked some, but the entire time, I just felt too awkward about it. Eventually, the coworker took her bottoms off and went into the pool with my wife. They hit it off well, but they did not do anything sexual. The husband and I just talked more. Finally, we left, and my wife and I talked about this. I told her how I felt, and her response basically was, they were there for the same reasons we were, and I was the one that made it awkward for everyone. I guess the coworker felt I was ignoring her, and she was bummed. I would not talk to her or look at her much. So now tomorrow, I go into the office. And most likely she will be there. You fucked up. He fucked up.
He fucked up.
That's all him.
That's all him. His wife is right. His wife is 100% right. I made it awkward. You're the one who is like being all fucking embarrassed and shit when you're at a nudist swingers thing. Everybody else seemed fine with it. Everyone, or you know, if you're really like a big, just throw your shorts on, like the husband, just throw your shorts on. You know what I mean? That's what he did, right?
Yeah, but that's awkward. That is, I mean,
I guess if you could throw them on like casually, I guess at some point, not right away or whatever, you know, like
I can't think of a reason to throw them on though. That would be a hard thing for me to fit because you know you're kind of sitting there. If you grab, because first of all, they run into each other.
I do kind of understand. It's a female coworker as well. You know what I mean? Like I kind of understand that you don't want to have your dick hanging out.
But they ran into each other and he was naked. So anytime he puts on those shorts, that's what makes it awkward. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, no, it does. It does make sense because you're putting it on. That's like sort of showing, hey, I'm not comfortable with being naked in front of you. And then it's like, why aren't you comfortable? And it's like, well, you kind of understand, but it does. Yeah, that's what makes it awkward.
I know. Sure. You have to have your dick and balls out.
You that's have to have her dick and balls out. She's got to have her tits and puss out. And you got to be able to, if she bends over, you got to be able to see inside her asshole.
Yeah. And maybe don't lick it unless she wants you to. You know, I am researching the Renaissance Fair Guys episode, and we're going to get to talk about plenty of sex.
Of course, don't lick it. Yeah. I mean, you don't.
So now, he goes, my wife said just act professional and keep it work related, not ignore her like I did at the resort. Oh my God, he fucked this whole thing up. He might have fucked up swinging for his wife forever.
He might be a single guy now.
I mean, I because when you said, oh, you know, put on a pair of shorts, I was starting to try to run through my mind ways that you could do that. And I just couldn't figure out like the excuse for putting on your pants. At the thing, like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And I was like, well, why you got to put on shorts to go to the fucking bathroom?
You could say I got to run outside to the car and grab something and just quickly throw the shorts on, then come back in and never put them, you know, never take them back off. I wonder that.
I wonder how that policy, I wonder, man, because a lot of places we look at, you can't wear shorts. So there's also that. All right. Well, that is guys plus. I don't know what is coming out. We'll be here Sunday for the stream. Well, maybe we'll see if Bubba found another big beefer. So we do have the stream Sunday. Next week on the podcast is Grilling Guys with Eva Anderson. Very funny episode. She's great. And that will be the shows. All right, Chris. I'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.